Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the blessed opportunity you've given us to gather in your house and to get into your word. Help us now as we get into it to understand the message you want us to receive and to really appreciate it and to apply it in the right way. Encourage us to then take that message and what you've given us, go out in this dark world and shine your light and your love into it and share the many blessings. Thank you so much as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. We come into this world spiritually dead because of what happened in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. And we're given an opportunity to make a decision. He created us with a free will. We can continue in that spiritually dead condition and serve Satan, or we can make a decision to receive and acknowledge the free gift of Jesus Christ and to become alive again, born again, spiritually alive, and become a family member of God and have an opportunity to serve the Lord. So it's basically a question that we all have to answer. Whom will you serve? Are you going to serve Satan or are you going to serve God? Simple as that. In Romans chapter 6, if we'll turn over there, he gets into this account of how we have this difference between the body and the flesh, how we have opportunity of salvation through the finished work of Jesus Christ, how we are under grace, and many things we can learn here in Romans chapter 6, and pick it right up in verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Here he was talking about what he spoke of in chapter 5 there about how the grace of God that is poured upon us, even in the midst of us being disobedient, he still has grace. He still don't just take us out because we stumble, because we mess up, because we've done something wrong. And it seems like that she even shows more grace when you see somebody who's definitely not living a godly life, and yet the Lord hasn't taken them out to judgment. And what he's saying here is like, well, do you want to just go ahead and continue in that sin because more grace is poured upon you? No. He says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now he's addressing specifically the Christians. When you become born again, you are actually becoming alive spiritually, and we're instructed to kill off, mortify the flesh. Not literally take your life, but when you look at the definition of life and death, as it's referred to here, it's separation. You need to separate from the physical lustful desires. Separate from sin. Separate from that slave relationship that you had with Satan. Because we are released from that. We are loosed from that. We are made free through the finished work of Jesus Christ when we accept and receive that. So when you're free from that sin and the Lord has given you grace, you have an opportunity as born-again Christians to serve the Lord completely and fully, to totally submit yourself to God. But you also have an opportunity to still mess up. Because there are many out there that claim to be born-again Christians that are not living a Christian life. Are they truly born again, or are they just hypocrites? Have they at one time truly given their lives over to the Lord but become disobedient children? That's the difference. You can still be a child and be a disobedient child. There is that freedom. But in that freedom to become disobedient, you might be trying the Lord's patience. How long is he going to tolerate that till he brings something upon you that's going to get your attention or till he takes you out completely to keep you from messing up any worse? We are sealed, yes. But we sure have a blessed opportunity to build up rewards, to receive blessings, to have a good influence on others around us as born-again Christians. But in that same setting, we also have an opportunity to destroy those blessings, to burn up those rewards, to bring shame to the Word, bring shame to Christianity, bring shame to God in our behavior. So we have that freedom to do that. It's not going to go well for you. The wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience, as he tells us in his word. So that's what he's talking about here. Born again Christians. Is God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin, separated from sin, live any longer therein? When you're separated in it, stay out of it. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Talking about being born again, killing off the old man, reviving and bringing to life a new man. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. What are you going to serve? Righteousness or sin? For he that is dead is freed from sin. When you are separated from that past, because when you become born again, all of that, from that moment back, all that sin is all erased, all gone, wiped away completely, never to be brought back up against you ever again. Verse 8, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. That's spiritual life and everlasting life. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. He paid the ultimate price in his physical death. He took on flesh, come down here, lived amongst us, so that he can die, be separated from the flesh, and sever that from all of us when we receive and accept what he's done for us. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Note, always, it's through Jesus Christ. That's not because of us, not because we've done something great. It's all based on what Jesus Christ has done. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. See, now it's a matter of giving permission. Prior to being saved, prior to becoming born again, you were bound in a slave relationship with sin. To sin. It was our natural way to sin. But because of the finished work of Jesus Christ, that is no longer our only choice, to just sin all the time. Now we have to make a conscious decision to, yes, I want to sin, and go ahead and sin as a born-again Christian. You consciously make that decision. And that's what he's talking about here. Is we should not allow our bodies to go back into that lustful, sinful behavior. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, your physical human body. We still have that tug of war. We're born again, yes. Spiritually alive, yes. But we're still in this world. We're still in this realm. We're still in this lustful, fleshly body that still has those lures, those draws, those desires to sin. It's still there. And we have to make a conscious decision to yield to that ourselves, whether we do that or not. It's not that you are bound to do it. I've had kids on the bus when I bring them to church just fighting and carrying on, and I scold them and said, well, sit down, behave, and them say, I can't help it, I was born this way. And that's what they're taught. You're born this way. Well, actually, they are. We're all born into this world sinful, and we're born into this world sinners. These folks out here that live a disgusting, vile life that claim, well, I can't help it, I was born this way. Well, that is actually true. You were born filthy and disgusting, just like all of us. But when you become born again, that's all gone. You're severed from that. You're separated from that. And you got an opportunity to stay away from that. But you also have the opportunity to go back into it. It's not going to go well for you. But you can still do it. You're going to suffer greatly for it. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body. Don't allow it to happen. You think, I'm not strong enough. No, you're not strong enough. You, on your own, are not strong enough to resist the temptation of sin. The devil knows exactly what it takes to get you to sin. It's like the analogy I use all the time, the fisherman. He knows the exact bait that he has caught you with in the past. He'll use that over and over to get you to sin. Sometimes it's just something small, something little. Like, oh, this is little, this is hidden, nobody knows about this, I can do this and get away with it. And he's got you. He's got his hook in you. Now he just has to set that hook and start reeling you in. And he'll do it. You'll get in more and more trouble as he reels you in. The sins become more and more prevalent, more and more prominent, more and more exposed. Because you gave in that little bit. But if we trust in Jesus Christ, if we stand on the authority of His Word and the strength that He can give us, if we put on the full armor of God, then we can shield those fiery darts. We can resist those temptations of Satan by the power of Jesus Christ. Don't stand on your own power, you'll fall. Stand on the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. Rebuke the devil and he'll leave you. He has to. You have that authority. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. But yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. What he's talking about here about the law and about grace is under the new covenant, under the new testament, when we become born again, if we violate the law, it doesn't condemn us to hell. It hurts us. It hurts our relationship with others. It hurts our relationship with God, but it doesn't condemn us to hell. Old Testament times, any violation of the law, then you were not godly. You were ungodly. Now you can be a disobedient child under grace, under the new covenant. You're still a child, but you're going to get a whooping. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? There again. Whom are you going to yield yourself to? God or the devil? Who are you going to serve? We have that choice. We have that decision. 17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Always have that in mind, to yield to the will of the Lord in everything that you do, everything whatsoever that's in your life. Look at everything that you do. Is it something that brings honor and glory to the Lord? Is it something that brings a good testimony? Or is it something that brings disgrace? For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. It's amazing how much the Lord has available for us not only everlasting life, not only taken us in to be a part of the family, but we can bear fruits. Fruits of righteousness. Fruits that can be utilized to give us blessings and to help others around us if we fully yield to the will of the Lord, if we serve the Lord, the opportunities that He gives us to serve Him. Verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Always emphasizing, is based on the finished work of Jesus Christ, not upon our works. No matter what we might claim, it's not because we were so great, it's because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's what we have to look forward to as born-again Christians, an opportunity to bring honor and glory to Him in everything that we say, everything that we do, everywhere that we go. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, when He's teaching us here, when the Lord's teaching us, He says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. There's no way you're going to serve both. You're either going to serve God or you're going to serve something else, whatever it may be. Here He's talking about money, wealth, prosperity, riches. No matter what your temptation is, you have to make a decision. Are you going to serve the Lord or are you going to serve your selfishness and serve Satan? Simple as that. There's only two ways about it. I love where Joshua was talking to the children of Israel in Joshua chapter 24 in verse 15, where he had just got through talking to them about the things they've gone through and what they have, the opportunities, what they have in front of them. What are they going to do? Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Bold statement that Joshua was making there. Who are you going to serve? All the pagan gods and goddesses that are out there in the world? Yourself? Or you're going to serve the Lord? Make a decision. And make a decision for your whole household, as Joshua was doing there. As he clearly said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Awesome testimony there for Joshua, making that bold statement, standing up, proclaiming that. The world out here would have you to serve Satan, would have you to serve yourself. Selfishness, self-awareness, self, self-help books, self-help seminars, all this self. You go to psychologists, first thing they want you to do is take care of yourself. Selfishness. One of the common things you hear people talk about as far as self. It's my body, I can do with it as I please. No, it's not your body. Jesus Christ paid for that body. Jesus Christ spoke all of us into existence. It's all His. It gives us an opportunity to dwell in this that belongs to Him. We need to take care of it because it's not ours. But society would have you think that it's yours. You can do with it as you please. You can be as sinful as you desire. But no, we are going to be held accountable. We have to know that and understand that. 2 Peter chapter 2, in verse 9, pick it up here. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. That's the key thing there. When we have these opportunities to sin, the temptations that are out there and don't have the ability to overcome them, God knows how to overcome them. The Lord can pull us out of that. Lean on Him. Draw close to Him, He draw close to you. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 again. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Little note there about those that do not receive Jesus Christ are going to be punished. the lake of fire for eternity. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness. That's clear what it is. Those lustful desires that we have within us. The tug of war that we're always talking about. Spirit against the flesh. We see a whole lot of that going on now in the world with all this chaos and disturbances and destruction. What's at the core of it? What's the root of all these movements? The Black Lives Matter, the Ku Klux Klan, the Antifa. I mean, you go on and on and on. I mean, I have a list of over 200 of them that are in the United States and in Europe of these antichrist evil groups. What is at the heart of each one of those people that is in that group? He's talking about it right here. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, because ultimately that's what they want, it's uncleanness, and despise governments. One of the key things you can determine about these folks, they despise governments. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. The anarchists, the ungodly anarchists. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusations against him before the Lord, but these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. That is clearly what we see on display in this country today, with these stupid children that are tearing up stuff, burning down places, all so they can steal some fancy tennis shoes and run off to the house with them. They don't care about some race issue. They look at it as an opportunity. Hey, let's go trash that store up the road because I know what they got in there and I want it. Selfishness. That's what it's about. And these companies that support these movements, that fund these movements, what's that about? Selfishness once again. They're looking at it as a marketing. Well, if I support this particular Antichrist group or that particular Antichrist group, I can get some profit from that because there's a whole bunch of them that are following that and they'll buy my product. And maybe they won't trash my store. Selfishness. It all goes back to that. Read 12 again. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness. What is that? That's eternity in the lake of fire. As they that counted pleasure to riot in the daytime. Plenty of rioting going on. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. They pretend to be a part of society. They act like, oh, this is all for society. We care about this issue, we care about that issue. No, you don't. You're selfish, and you're ungodly, and you're doing it for your own pleasure and your own lustful desires. Exactly what's going on. Verse 14, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart that have exercised with covetous practices cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozer, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumbass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, some of those folks, they get up and they get their little blowhorns and speakers and they start talking to their followers. That's what he's speaking of here. Great swelling words. These so-called politicians, because they're sure not doing anything for the country, they're doing it for their own selfish gain, get out there and tell people to riot. Get out there and support it. Get out there and promote it. And kneel down right there with them, like the most of the entire Congress, Democrat Congress group that kneeled down to the Black Lives Matter ungodly behavior, tying right in there with them. And they sure speak the great swelling words of vanity or worthlessness. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantingness, their own greediness within that. Those that were clean escaped from them who live in error, while they promised them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. And we sure see a lot of that in politics these days. Whereas angels which are greater in power and might bring not railing accusations against them before the Lord, but they as natural brute beasts. Natural brute beasts. Back up there in verse 11 again. And that's what we're dealing with. A bunch of natural brute beasts. And then back down to verse 19. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. They're bound to those sinful behaviors. And if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end worse with them than the beginning. Those that have had a glimpse into the gospel, those that know right and wrong, but yet turn against right and go into the wrong, are worse off than those that did not know anything about the gospel. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. This is talking about those that have been given the opportunity to see the gospel, rejected it, turned it against it. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Sad to say, there's a lot of folks that have been doing that very same thing. Returning back to it, becoming the servants of Satan, never really truly became a servant of the Lord, never really truly born again, just come into it to be a part of the group, part of the family, proclaim this, proclaim that, never really gave their lives over to the Lord. Then you got those that have become disobedient, that have chosen to go back and serve Satan, and disobedient children. The wrath of God is going to come upon them. So we all need to make that decision. Whom are you going to serve? Are you going to be the servant of Satan or the servant of the Lord? Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the many, many things you give us the opportunity to be a part of. And a part of the opportunity to serve you is wonderful. We thank you for that. And help us to encourage others to come in, to be a part of your family as well, and have that opportunity to be severed from the sinful, lustful desires of the flesh, to be severed from that servitude of Satan, to be able to be joined with you and be a part of the family. And give all of us the strength to overcome the temptations that the devil puts upon us each and every day by your strength, your power, your might. We thank you so much as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.